What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 114 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the guy who wants to be Tracer, but I'm already Tracer. It's the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? John, I've had a pretty good day today. We're the week before Christmas. Unfortunately, during lunch, though, I decided to bite the heck out of my cheek, so I'm in a little bit of pain tonight.
Well, I would have rather bite my cheek versus sitting in an hour and a half traffic to go 8 miles coming home from work today. That's why we're starting, if you're watching here on Twitch, a little bit late. Compliments of Northern Virginia traffic. You gotta love the traffic around this area. But, Nation, the good news is it's another week. It's another week for esports, which means you should probably be following us on Twitter. So head on over to Twitter, give Joey a follow, at Courtside King. While you're at it, shoot me a follow as well. That's at Fiasco if you're watching live here on Twitch. Those are the handles right below our beautiful faces on webcam. And if you're listening to the podcast later on down the road, I saw that face, Joey. Later on down the road, those will be in the show notes below. Nation, it's a sad week in esports as we say goodbye to one of... It was one of the up-and-coming titles. It wasn't really a Tier 1 title, but it had potential. It's never a good thing when a scene shuts down so abruptly, but what makes it even worse is when it happens right before the holidays. Joey, the Nation and I need a good pick-me-up. Give me the good news. What else are we talking about today this week on episode 114?
Well, it is today, too, John. You're not wrong.
You're right.
So overall, yeah, very sad we saw a scene shut down, but that is not all. There is also a lot of new life coming into esports. We have some NHL news in that department. We have a lot of big investments being made in esports, which seems to be a common theme for us, both on the collegiate level and the professional level. And on top of that, we have a lot of good news for gamers in this one.
Joey, you had a rough lunch. I had a rough commute home, which means we need to double up on our drink of choice this episode. We need a lot to get us through this episode. Plus, we're talking about a really depressing topic, and esports scene is shutting down. Joey, for the 114th time, it is time for the drink of choice. Your beverage, please.
John, I got to go water tonight, but I am drinking out of a stein.
Well,
okay,
that's...
you give me the but I can't drink anything because my mouth hurts so bad. I have this giant gash on the side
you
of it now.
But alcohol numbs the pain.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you... No, seriously. I mean, you put it on a cut. It sterilizes.
Oh, no. I get that. But do we really want me screaming and moaning on this episode as this alcohol burns into my skin?
I can easily put on the mature content filter on Twitch and we're set. Joey, I will make up for everything as I am celebrating our friends to the north in Canada again, drinking a hearty dose of Crown Royale and Coke Zero because, you know, hey, you got to watch your figure just a little bit.
There you go. Put an extra splash on there for me tonight.
I'll put two splashes on there, ooh, Joey, and I will get a little numb in honor of your half-bitten cheek. There you go. Joey is, he's not doing so well. If you're watching on Twitch, you are missing, like, if you're not watching, you are missing some great reactions by the one and only King of the Courtside. Joey, enough about your half-bitten cheek. It is time for gaming and esports news. Let's get into it.
John, let's kick it off with an exciting one here. We have 100 Thieves bringing on professional LOL analyst and journalist Kelsey Mosier as their new League of Legends Academy director and head coach. John, we've been around the scene for 4 to 5 years in the esports League of Legends scene. Kelsey has always been there. She's always one of the top journalists, outside of Jacob Wolf, obviously, who seems to win the Journalist of the Year award almost every year. But Kelsey's always up there in that top three. She always is breaking stories. She's always diving into the analysis of why things are happening in the league scene. This is a great move by 100 Thieves.
Yeah, it's great. And really, a journalist studies that scene. And some journalists specialize in one esports scene. Some others specialize in multiple scenes. Kelsey is amazing when she covers League of Legends. She knows what she's talking about. She's immersed herself into that scene. There really is no better person than someone who has covered that scene from start to finish, pretty much, than you know, as a head coach or an academy director. They understand the insides and the outs as well as anyone. They put the same amount of study and time into it as players, as directors, as team managers. So, I mean, it makes sense. And she knows what she's talking about. Joey, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, Jacob Wolf well-deservedly wins these awards. Kelsey's right there with him. She is in the same tier as Jacob Wolf when it comes to reporting, when it comes to breaking news or telling stories or being able to expand on a very dynamic league like League of Legends. So I think this hiring is great for 100 Thieves. I love the diversity that they're going for, and I love the fact that they're tapping someone with a lot of knowledge for their academy director and head coach.
And I love the idea of bringing in an analyst for that position. When you look at the academy squad, you're trying to prepare these players to get better at the game to have a chance at being in the starting team. What better than an analyst who can help analyze their play and tell them where to improve in than to come in this role? Yeah, I could see another guy, like a motivational guy or girl, coming in as a head coach as well for the academy squad, but I like the idea of a really strong analyst being put in that position too. Virtus Pro has cut ties with their CSGO lineup. This comes after Virtus told us they're going to change their colors back. Well, apparently they're also changing their titles back because they are saying goodbye to CSGO. Unfortunate there for the players. Virtus Pro did give a good run, though. They've been up there. They haven't been up there lately, but the past few years they've been a good CSGO team. This is just another move where they're reclassifying what they're looking to do in esports.
Yeah, it's really sad because, I mean, CSGO isn't a title it's shrinking. It's growing. It's a growing scene. And Virtus Pro had a very good CSGO team. They were competitive. They were pretty much in every major tournament. They weren't bad. You know, were they, you know, the powerhouses like Fnatic? You know, probably not. But they weren't exactly, you know, giants in the LEC League of Legends terrible. So, you know, it's sad to see them go. Hopefully Virtus Pro will get back into CSGO, maybe pick up another lineup, maybe get some more players. Kind of wait and see what happens with that, but it is sad to see their entire lineup get cut.
But then on the happier side, John, we have the Washington Capitals taking their first leap into esports with Chell Classic?
Chell.
And Capitals esports face off. So this is exciting, John. The Chell Classic is going to be a 3v3 best of five showcase series against the Tampa Bay Lightning in March 19th at Capital One Arena. This is huge. We already saw a monumental jump into esports with Wizards District Gaming. The ownership group Axiomatic also owns Team Liquid, so they have ties there with multiple esports titles. This is another huge move moving into a new scene.
Yeah, and NHL is a growing esports scene. They just had a tournament, and there are a ton of like players from Denmark and all over the world. I believe one of the players from Denmark won, but it's a very exciting, fast-paced esport title. It holds your attention. There's a lot going on. It's right up there with FIFA. It's right up there with all of your fast-paced, you know, high-intensity esport games. And this is going to be another one of those titles that's going to help bridge that gap from traditional sports into esports. FIFA's going to do it. We're seeing Rocket League do it because of its very soccer-like rule base. Granted, it's still RC cars that fly through the air that are just absolutely awesome to watch. NHL is kind of the same way. It's very fast-paced. There's huge hits. There's amazing skills and goals being scored. If you like hockey, you're going to like hockey in esport fashion as well. There's a lot of energy behind it. There's a lot of hype around it. And I couldn't be happier to see a team like the Stanley Cup champions, Washington Capitals. That never gets old saying, by the way. That never gets old saying. The Stanley Cup champion, Washington Capitals, jump headfirst into esports here. This is absolutely great. This is why Washington, D.C. is quickly becoming the East Coast capital of esports. They are growing at such an alarming rate. It's awesome. I guarantee you there's more in the pipeline to come. D.C., this whole region, isn't stopping here. This is a great move by Monumental, great move by the Capitals organization jumping into esports, and this is only going to be the start. The Chell Classic and the esports face-off, that is just the start. I see them expanding, hopefully one day, into a league like we see with the NBA 2K League and hopefully with the EMLS when that really all comes to fruition with all the teams participating.
Yeah, and it depends how they go from here, and we can talk more about the tournament details here in a minute. But do we see them going a route similar to the NBA 2K where they link them with the organization but don't allow cross-promotion? So it's almost like a secondary team within that same umbrella to a degree? Or do we see it more like the Madden scene where it's more players in individual tournaments instead of a season-long format being cleanly drawn out?
You know, that's a great question. It's still a young scene. the NHL scene is still really developing. There is no league, like an organized, structured league like we see with the NBA 2K League. Hopefully they do go down that direction. Hopefully we see more NHL teams jump into esports, and then hopefully we can combine that. Just from what we've seen so far, there has already been more promotion from the Capitals, like the main Washington Capitals social media accounts, than we've ever seen from the Washington Wizards with the NBA 2K League. That's because they have that split. They cannot promote under the same name. It looks like the NHL is open to the idea of promoting esports through their main social media lines, which I personally think is a smart way to do it. You already have that established audience. You don't have to fight for more audience in an already cluttered social atmosphere on social media. You can already tap into what does the Capitals have, like over 200,000 followers or something like that? They're already there. Push esports out. It's great. I think that's the way they're going to go, and hopefully they combine the league together with all the other teams and they push it forward through that social media platform.
Okay, so you're going to say 200,000 followers? Is that what you're going for?
I'm taking a stab. It's a complete shot in the dark.
Oh, well, now we're going to play a game.
Oh, no.
So give me a guess. I'll give you within 50,000.
Within 50,000?
And you are not looking at Twitter right now, are you?
I am not looking at Twitter. Oh, Stanley Cup champions. That probably boosted them up quite a bit. Let's go with 700,000?
734,000.
Okay.
You sure you didn't look at Twitter over there?
It's right there.
Oh, hey, yo. Yeah, that was a good guess, sir. Thank you. Yeah, 734,000. Okay, enough game time. Let's talk more about this particular event. Players will be selected to represent the Capitals at the Shell Classic through competition in the Capitals Esports Face-Off. Qualifying online tournaments slated for January 12th, 19th, 26th, and February 2nd. The final eight participants will then challenge each other at an in-person double elimination tournament February 22nd in D.C. for a shot at one of the coveted final three roster spots and a chance to take home a $10,000 prize. The in-person tournament and the Chell Classic will be live-streamed on twitch.tv/Capitals. Revenue generated from the Twitch streams through March 20th will be donated to the Boys and Girls Club of the Greater Washington Area, a great charitable contribution there. Participants will compete in NHL 19 on PlayStation 4, with the online qualifying being a double elimination bracket presented by Smash.gg. Tampa Bay's online tournament is scheduled for February 2nd, with the in-person tournament on February 16th. I freaking love this, John. So not only is it the Capitals going in here, it is joining up with the Tampa Bay Lightning, another popular NHL organization. These two powerhouse orgs of the NHL are coming together to bring the NHL into esports. And again, I don't think we can stress enough how awesome the cross-promotion here is with the regular NHL team's Twitters and social media accounts with this new esports craze.
Yeah, and what better team to partner up with than the team the Capitals beat in the Eastern Conference Finals in seven games, the Tampa Bay Lightning. I am going to ride this till I die. You know, it's great. And it's cool because the finals is going to take place down in Tampa. So not only do you get to play NHL and represent the Washington Capitals in this case, but you also, in the middle of February, get to go to Tampa Bay, where it's not going to be 20 degrees below zero, where there's not going to be 15 inches of snow on the ground. It's Tampa Bay. You get to go play NHL in Tampa Bay and then hit the beaches afterwards. That's pretty awesome just in itself. But what a great opportunity this is for people in the DMV area to represent the Stanley Cup champions. I mean, really, at the end of the day, that's what you're representing when you win this tournament to go to Tampa Bay. You're going to be donning the same red that Alex Ovechkin is wearing, you know, and Braden Holtby and everyone. TJ Oshie, my boy TJ. I can't even forget about TJ. Everyone there rocking the red for the Capitals in the NHL. That's awesome. That's such a great opportunity. And again, it's going to grow from here. And it's going to grow and going to be absolutely amazing.
And from that, we're going to transition from the NHL to the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers have invested in the Pittsburgh Knights as they become the fifth NFL team to invest in traditional esports. John, another huge move. If we're talking big organizations in the NFL, the Steelers are one of the most historic out there. They're one of the ones that have won the most Super Bowls of a lot of organizations. So the fact that the Steelers are joining into esports and not only doing it by creating their own organization, but investing in a local organization that's already built their way up, I think is a very good move for the city of Pittsburgh.
Can I recommend a name change? You know, look, I mean, Pittsburgh, you have the Steelers, you have the Penguins, you have the Pirates. Okay, cool. I get it. It's fine. Now you have the Knights. Eh, I mean, we can do something better than that. I mean, why not change it up a little bit? Why not be... Well, what was that one Rocket League team? I think it was a Rocket League team. It was like the Juicy Boys or something like that.
No.
Some really random name that we're like, oh my gosh, that is a terrible name for an esport. Don't do that. But do something spicy, you know, be like the Pittsburgh, I can't even think of a name. Never mind. Just go ahead and stick with Knights. That's fine. Just stick with Knights.
I like Knights. Yes, it's not that crazy. It's not that unique. But at the same point, this is an organization that has already made a name for itself. And I think that's the big thing here.
That's fair.
The fact that the Knights is already established, they're already competing in pro titles. So you're already building that branding up. At the same point, Pittsburgh is one of those cities that I don't feel like wants something crazy unique. I feel like they're very run-of-the-mill, run-of-the-steel-mill.
I'm
sorry, I just thought of that as I was saying it. But you know what I mean? They're not that crazy. The Pirates, the Steelers, the Penguins. It's nothing crazy out there. I feel like Knights really fits that mold well.
It really does. Pittsburgh really sticks to traditional names. And I guess in the end, that's fine. It is very Pittsburgh of them, really. and it does fit. You know, their colors are probably going to be something involving... a mustard yellow, like everything else in Pittsburgh does.
Gold and black.
Gold. See, there you go. Mustard yellow and black. Simple as that. like everything else in Pittsburgh, just like I said. But no, it's fine. It works. I love the idea that the Steelers are jumping into it. I want more organizations to do this. I don't want it to stop with Pittsburgh. I want my hometown team of Denver Broncos. I mean, our team absolutely is awful this year. So let's do something better with all that money. Let's invest into an esport organization and just fold up shop or something. I don't know. But I would like to see the Broncos get involved in esports. I like to see all the teams. The San Francisco 49ers, another legendary team. I want to see the Miami Dolphins. I want to see all of them join forces into esports and help create this even more.
Okay, John, I just posted a link. Go ahead and click on it and check out their logo as well.
Oh boy, here we go.
So I'm not the biggest fan of the logo. It kind of has a soccery feel to me almost.
Just give it time.
It doesn't scream Knight to me.
They could be like Dignitas and just change their logo. Let's see here. That is a very soccery logo. And that doesn't even look like a knight. That looks more like an eagle or...
Okay, that's the thing that's really throwing me off is the look of it. I don't get... It looks more like a griffin to me.
It
like
does.
The head of a griffin.
Not a knight.
More like a Thundercat symbol.
It really does. And here, and look, we just got done talking about NHL. Well, let's bring NHL into this. You have the Vegas Golden Knights, a brand new hockey team that did incredibly well in their first season, that their main colors are pretty much black and gold also, and that you share half of their name, Knights. So, you know, that's going to be interesting too. At least they have what looks like is a Spartan helmet as their logo. That makes sense. This is a griffin. This is a flying lion. This is something that looks nothing like a knight. So it's going to be interesting. I kind of want the Steelers to jump in here and be like, hey, look, let's switch this up a little bit. Let's pull a Dignitas and rebrand our logo a little bit. That'd be nice. But yes, Joey, it looks like a soccer badge.
I also don't know who came first. The Pittsburgh Knights may have been established before the Vegas Knights.
Oh, probably.
I'm not 100% sure on that one. Their copyright on their website says 2017 to 2018. So I don't know if that means they started in 2017 or if that's just the copyright agreement they went on. So not 100% sure. I like the idea, though. I love the fact we see the Steelers just to bring it all back. I'm glad we see another big NFL team, big sports team investing in esports. I think this is a great move going local as well. The fact that they are bringing up a local Pittsburgh organization that already knows the area, that already knows the fans and the scene. So I think those are two big wins here. The logo, I'm not quite sold on. The color scheme is great. Overall, this is a good organization, though, and I think Pittsburgh's picking up at a great spot. Penta Sports has partnered with MM Media to handle its merchandise and to host viewing parties for Penta matches in German cinemas. Another great partnership, John. Penta, I would say, is a mid-tier esports organization. They compete in numerous titles, but they're not a big, big name in most of them. At the same point, it never hurts to find more partners in the community. This is a great way to continue building up your fan base and to continue doing it in new spaces. I love the idea of more esports in cinemas, in movie theaters, in different public places where it can be seen and sought out by more and more people as they continue to get to know esports. Really like this move here.
Yeah, and really, movie theaters are kind of like one of the best areas to do this. Some older style movie theaters have stages still where the screen is at. That can retract and boom, there you have a stage. It has amazing stadium seating already built. And if you need a high-def projector to project whatever's happening, it's already there. There's so much potential in cinemas and movie theaters. So I love the fact that esports has really adopted to use cinemas and theaters for smaller esport events. And it's really a smart move. We even see it here in the Northern Virginia area. There's a Cinemark, I believe, near Dulles Airport that is used for hosting League of Legends tournaments and games for, I believe, the city level. Joe, you know what I'm talking about here?
Oh yes, the city level.
Yeah,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No idea. The Super League or whatever it's called.
Oh, Super League. Oh yeah. I thought you were talking about a cinema. I missed that. Okay.
It's hosted at a cinema. They play at a cinema. Is what I'm trying to get about.
Super League is it.
Yeah. So that's great. And then on top of it, we talked about Fanatics and Overwatch League partnering up and how that's going to be great for merchandise going forward. Same thing on a smaller level is when an esport organization partners with another organization to do their merchandise, same thing happens. It goes from an organization that is already overwhelmed, focusing on developing esports, focusing on making their teams better, probably getting money to expand into other titles, and they leave the merchandise to another company that says, hey, look, we specialize in this. We can be creative. We can do different things with your permission. Obviously, the team would get the good or bad, thumbs up, thumbs down vote on it. But they don't have to worry about that. That's something that the now partner, Media or is it MM Media? That's what
I'm going with MM Media, but it could be Media for all I know.
But it's smart because there's so much creativity when you give it to an organization that focuses on doing merchandise overall. So it's a smart move by them to do that. And MM Media now can say, hey, look, we're the official merchandise. This is the official retail store of Penta Sports. So that's smart. I like the partnership. It makes a lot of sense. Keep hosting esports and cinemas. It's smart.
Media. Intel signs a 3-year, $100 million extension with ESL. John, this is huge. We've seen this over and over where Intel continues to invest in these different organizations and these different tournament organizers. This one's big, though. 3 years, $100 million. A lot of people are like, is esports going to continue to grow? Will it actually reach what it's being projected to? Now that you're seeing scenes start to fall apart, you're seeing arguments with players depending on salary and agency and different things popping up all over the esports landscape. This is Intel saying, hey, we are here and we're here to stay. We're committing till 2021, and we're putting a lot of money on the table to continue watching this scene grow.
Not just a lot of money, but they signed a new deal with me when I bought my new i7 Intel processor from them.
Hey-o.
But no, it's so smart. Intel really has been there from the get-go when it comes to esports scenes. It's a processor that a lot of people feel is the best gaming processor out there. And this deal goes to show it. You're not seeing these deals with AMD. You're not seeing these deals with anybody else but Intel. And Intel has the money to do it. It's smart for Intel, and it's smart for esports, and in this case, ESL, to do it. Intel is a huge powerhouse name when it comes to anything computers, processors, just esports. They are everywhere. It's such a smart deal, and Intel will definitely get their money's worth out of this deal, signing this extension with ESL.
And I love ESL because they hold so many different scenes. When you look at something like League of Legends, it's one scene, and they do a very good job with it, but it's one scene. You look at CSGO, there's a lot of single scenes. ESL picks up so many different titles. They do Counter-Strike, they've done Heroes of the Storm, they've done League of Legends in the past. They're one of those tournament organizers that's not afraid to touch anything, and I like that because it brings a lot of variety to a lot of different cities, and I hope we continue to see more and more cities on this tour as we go to 2021. This year's The Game Awards 2018 has doubled its viewership in comparison to previous years, this time bringing in 26 million live streams. Sean, this is ginormous. Not only a huge number at 26 million, but the fact it doubled from last year. That just shows how much gaming and esports in general are on the rise. People tuned in, yes, for the awards, but they also tuned in for new content. A lot of big new game announcements came out that night. But the fact you're at 26 million viewers now, that is huge.
It's not a bad jump. It really isn't. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there's a lot of hype around this year's awards because of some of the anticipated announcements that were coming out for it. I kind of want to do a poll next year, Joey. I want to do a poll of people watching. how many people are watching for the awards? How many people are watching for the announcements? Because I think it would be incredibly lopsided towards one of those two. And I think that like that is an ongoing meme, you know, in the industry of, you know, the Game Awards being about the announcements versus the awards. But at the end of the day, you know, I'd be kind of curious, is that meme true? Is that a legitimate meme to be said here amongst, you know, this gaming award? And we've talked about it before, how it feels like there's gaming award shows popping up all over the place almost as quickly as Battle Royale games are popping up. But, you know, or even online gaming shops now. Spoiler. It's interesting to see if people really care about these awards. You know, there's people that care about the Oscars. There's people that care about the Academy Awards, the Grammys, and so on and so forth. Does the esports community really care about these awards outside of the people that are in the industry, you know, focusing on their organizations, their teams, the people, the players, the owners? Do people really care about these awards? That's where I'm kind of at. 26 million, yeah, it's a big number. But again, I would probably make a strong argument that the announcements were more important than the actual awards.
And I think they are perfectly fine understanding that, to be honest. Don't really care what's making people tune in. As long as people are tuning in, as long as they're getting that publicity, any publicity is good publicity is what they say. So regardless if you're watching for the awards, if you want to see if it's God of War or Red Dead Redemption who wins Game of the Year, regardless if you already know Ninja won Streamer of the Year, but you're still tuning in, game announcements, awards, doesn't matter. 26 million is a huge number, and I think Knightley is very happy with that in general. And I think it's also respectable that we saw different heads from Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox at this. I think that brings up the whole brevity of the awards in general, especially with so many award shows out there. It almost gives an extra credit to this one, saying, hey, we brought out the top developers from these particular companies, these studios, the heads of the gaming departments. The fact they're able to do that, I think, gives it some extra credibility. NASCAR has introduced the eNASCAR Heat Pro League. Walker, if you're still in chat, you're going to like this one. NASCAR Race Team Alliance and 704 Games have announced the first ever NASCAR Esports League on consoles. Again, the eNASCAR Heat Pro League. The newly formed league is in a collaboration between all three of the aforementioned entities and will feature 16 race teams and 32 drives owned and operated by NASCAR race teams. Starting today, let me just double check when today is. I believe it was announced today. No, it wasn't. It was earlier, actually. December 6th is when this came out. We just saw the news today. This is going to be huge. So they're coming out. Players in the NASCAR Heat 3 can work toward qualifying for the first ever NASCAR Heat Pro League draft, which will take place in early 2019. After the draft, the league will host a 16-race season beginning in spring 2019 and throughout the 2019 NASCAR playoffs. So, John, overall, we have another esports title, another sport title moving to esports. NASCAR is one of those things that gets a lot of heat, whether it be because some people think it's a sport, some people don't. Some people enjoy watching people drive around a track, some don't. When we look at racing games, though, it's going to bring a bit of a different pull to it. We already have Formula One esports. Now we're bringing NASCAR into the fold. Personally, for me, I think it will be a little bit more exciting seeing NASCAR as an esport, not because I don't enjoy watching people go around the track, but being at NASCAR races myself, I've gone to one or two. There's a lot of jet fuel smell. I like the idea of not smelling that in my living room. Yeah, I just took that pathway. What are your thoughts on this, though? Another esport league. So we already have the NHL potentially moving in here with these big moves by the Capitals and the Lightning. Now NASCAR making another move.
Okay, I'm going to be the hater. I'm sorry. I've been to a NASCAR race also. I was lucky enough to even be in pit row. I got to talk to some of the drivers. I thought it was a cool experience.
Oh, gosh.
It was fun. I don't have a driver I root for. I don't have a team that I root for. Whether you're Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyota, I could care less. Look, Formula One racing is one thing. You're not going around a circle. I am sorry, Joey, but if you are participating in this and you are not in like a legitimately built like cockpit with a steering wheel and pedals and whatnot, you better have insurance on your controller. Why? Because you're just going to be doing this the entire time. You're making left turns. That's all you're doing. You're going around in a circle. How is that? Look, it's not fun to watch on TV. It's not going to be fun to watch as an esport. I am sorry. I don't want to watch grown men or women go around an oval 400 times. As an esport, are we going to cut that down to 100 times? 30 times? I don't care. I'm not going to watch that. That's going to drive me up a wall. Now, you make that a 50-person bumper car track, I will watch. But I could care less about people going around in a circle. Formula One has road tracks. Not only do you make left turns, you make right turns. Sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down. Not a flat surface going around in a circle. This is complete. Look, I am generally a very positive person when it comes to esports. When it comes to esports, I'm going to clarify that. But I am sorry. This, I do not see this as a legitimate esport going forward. I do not see the kinds of people that watch NASCAR making that transition to esports. I don't see esport fans making that transition from Fortnite, League of Legends, Call of Duty, you name your title, to NASCAR esports. I don't see this happening. This is absolutely awful. I apologize for the rant. I will not be watching. I will not be buying. I will not be subscribing. I will not be doing anything for this entire league. I wish you the best.
I was trying to stay positive here with a NASCAR fan in the chat, but no. I have to agree with you, John. I think this is going to be very tough. I like Formula One in the sense that it keeps things interesting because there's interesting tracks. It's fun to watch the scenery. It's fun to watch the different turns. NASCAR, it is a big oval. It's really just that.
It's and it's turning
the controller thing, man, that really killed me.
Joey, the stick is going to break, okay, is what I'm trying to get at. It's going to break sooner or later.
But see, we do not know if they're going to add anything in. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to. I think this is going to be straight up NASCAR for esports. And I'm with you, John. I do not think either audience translates. I don't think you're going to get professional esport or let's say esports viewers in general transferring over. And I really don't think NASCAR fans, for the most part, are going to watch this either. So unless you do it maybe at halftime. Well, there is no halftime in NASCAR. Yeah, you're screwed. I don't know how you do this. I really don't.
Look, it's as simple as this, right? I am Googling a driver in NASCAR right now. Literally, driver. Okay, here you go. Kyle Busch. Apparently, he is not a well-liked person within NASCAR. If he starts pumping esports, that's not going to make anyone excited. Are you going to play the digital version? Is there a video game that lets you create your own driver? And kind of like we see in the NBA 2K League where you have your own avatar in the game, is there a NASCAR game where you create your own driver? Look, I'll completely admit this. If there's a NASCAR game out there, I would not know. Okay? I try to stay out of GameStop. I try to stay out of places where these go, because I would rather, you know, buy it through Steam. I'd rather do the digital download. That's just my own preference. So I don't know if there's a NASCAR game out there. I will never Google a NASCAR video game because I just really don't care. I don't understand how this translates to esports. I'm going to hammer that home until it's dead. It makes no sense.
Okay, there is. It's NASCAR Heat 3 is the racing game.
What? What?
Yeah, NASCAR Heat 3. And the other thing I don't think we considered, well, maybe we did, but you went with the whole controller route. I bet they're going to put them in more of an arcade console, if I had to guess. I think we'll probably get the steering wheel and the stick at least. Not that it's going to make it that much better, but you know what I mean? At least it adds a little bit more skill to the table.
How about we just put it on Wii, slap the Wii controller in the little steering wheel gadget you can buy for $50, and you can do that while you're at it, too. You know, that way it's more realistic. You have a steering wheel, too. I just Googled this game. It has a solid 6 out of 10 on Steam. Okay, so obviously, even racing fans are not liking this game. 6 out of 10. That is failing in most schools across this country. 6 out of 10. That's a 60%. That is awful. Look, and right here, the third link on Google. Disappointment in Bristol. Dominance in Darlington. NASCAR Heat 3. That is a title that does absolutely nothing for me. I am not excited. Oh, NASCAR Heat 3 review. Oh, yeah. All right, cool. We're going to do some drag racing around a dirt strip. Stop me now before this goes viral.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've lost our NASCAR viewer at this point. We did drop in
viewer probably
down.
Long gone.
We apologize for that, guys.
Yeah, I ain't got to take none of that.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, neither one of us the biggest NASCAR fans here. Obviously, we are not going to be the biggest fans of NASCAR esports. I wish them the best. I hope it does really well. I hope it does even better than NASCAR itself does. At the same point, the hopes are not that high from John and I over here at
better
Level Up.
Better than NASCAR does. Oh, I don't even remember the last time I saw NASCAR on television, Joey.
Oh my gosh. Starting in fall 2019, John, Mizzou will sponsor a varsity esports team, the university announced in conjunction with NACE today. They will be the first SEC school to add an esports program and the second Power 5 institution to do so. We've mentioned it again, we mentioned it first when Ohio State did it, John. Mizzou, another big name coming in, the first from the SEC. I have a feeling the first of many. I would not be surprised if Alabama, LSU also jump in on this train soon. A lot of big SEC schools out there. Overall, though, Mizzou is a great one to do so. I'm glad they're making the jump early on. Again, first of many here, but another big move for esports on the collegiate level.
You want to know one of the titles that's not involved in the NACE?
NASCAR.
Look at that.
Oh, wait, NASCAR to be one of the first titles, fall 2019.
Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. I was seriously about to cuss. Oh. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Okay, Epic Games, they're using Chris Pratt along with a number of top Fortnite pros, former esports pros, and $1 million in prize money to try and get Fortnite esports off the ground in Korea for the Fortnite Korean Open. John, oh, Fortnite esports, my friend. Fortnite's killing it as a game. There are so many players out there. But again, I feel like every other episode we talk Fortnite esports and we talk how it continues to struggle. No matter how much money they throw at it, it has not found its niche within the esports scene yet.
And let's just talk about how Epic is kind of doing it themselves real quick. It has so much potential. If you can figure out a winning formula on how to make it a legitimate esport with a league structure that is going to be drawing people back every week, fine, do it. Things you don't do. And other titles have done this and they have seen the backlash. The NBA 2K League, when they ruled a legitimate move in the game illegal halfway through the week prior to their next week. I believe it was the stiff arm or whatever it was. They made that change on a Tuesday, 2 days before the start of the next week. They didn't give the teams any time to practice. You have League of Legends dropping major patches mid-season, weeks, just barely 2-3 weeks before the next split starts. Huge backlash. What does Epic Games do in their most recent? They drop a huge meta change 2 days before a $1 million tournament. The pros were pissed, and they had every right to be. It completely changed the entirety of the game, completely changed the skill, the mechanics, everything. They put in this gigantic sword that you literally just swing around like you're Garen from League of Legends and just demolish everything. It takes no skill. RNG, you don't need RNG. You're spinning a sword around. You smack someone twice, they're dead. It doesn't matter. That is an issue. And when people called Epic Games out, Epic Games comes out and goes, so, this game is for more than just esport pros. But yeah, you're going to try to build an esports scene. And you're going to make changes like that? That is a way to kill your game in the esports scene. I do not see this. I don't even see Chris Pratt being enough to really launch this. If they keep mismanaging their esports scene like this, it is going to be dead on a professional level sooner rather than later. This game is going to thrive in the regional base, in the regional bases all around the country, in smaller tournaments that understand ways you can make this game competitive and interesting to viewers versus just throwing money out there and making these stupid changes and expecting people not to turtle and not to just kind of stealth around and do absolutely nothing to try to finish in the top 10. I don't see this doing anything for Fortnite. They need to figure it out. Epic Games is losing hard when it comes to pro esports.
Okay, so I love me some Chris Pratt. And first of all, Epic Games makes enough in gaming to make up for anything. But sure. Chris Pratt, we love him over here in the U.S. What is the pull over in Korea, though? Are we talking just his pull in Jurassic World?
I believe he was also Star-Lord in Avengers.
Okay, I guess I did well overseas, too.
Oh, it did amazing Korea. Overseas.
Okay, I know it did well in China. I don't know how well it did in Korea. I guess that would make sense, though. Star-Lord could do it. Star-Lord and Jurassic World both did pretty well, I guess. But yeah, overall, I guess that's enough to pull it. I don't know if bringing in a big name actor is going to be enough to do it. Same with Fortnite pros. I don't even know that many Fortnite pros, to be honest. I mean, there's a lot out there, but because there's no established esports competition, because it's all these skirmishes that take part every season, I don't really feel like I get to know the pros as much as I would if they were through an organization in a clean seasonal setup. I like the idea of doing skirmishes and tournaments like this, but again, I think there needs to be more love for the esport organizations. look at something like Dota 2, for example, or CSGO. They are both tournament-based scenes. They don't have regular seasons. They have a season, but it's based upon multiple tournaments without it or within it. I think Fortnite could do the same thing, but you have to allow those organizations to brand themselves and to build up those players. Right now, it feels like all these Fortnite pros are more like streamers within organizations that compete in little tournaments here and there by Epic with a lot of money on the table, as opposed to building up seasonal points throughout a season.
And that's exactly what it is. There is no season format. It is those small little tournaments. And that's not going to be enough to grow the scene. And the other issue, Joey, you hit the nail right on the head. These are streamers. These are content creators for organizations just doing extracurriculars outside of streaming. You know, they have a better chance of making money streaming and representing their organization streaming than they do going to these little one-off tournaments that every tournament has a completely different set of rules, that has a completely different set of everything, and no one knows what they're getting into until they get there. I mean, there is just so many question marks surrounding Fortnite as an esport, and it's so fluid. There's no stability to it whatsoever. It feels like it changes more than League of Legends does every 2 weeks, more than Overwatch does every 3 to 4 weeks, more than anything. It makes you scratch your head and go, there's so much potential here. You're killing it as a free game with microtransactions. You're obviously doing something right. It's entertaining. It's fun to play. Why can you not translate this to an esport? What is holding you back? There's so much potential. It's completely being mismanaged. Yeah, I get it. They're making like $300 million a month, it feels like. But why not make $600 million a month with a legitimate esports scene? That's what I don't get. The potential is there, and it just gets mismanaged. More and more and more, they try to make it better. It gets worse. It just makes you scratch your head and go, what in the world are you doing?
Okay, John, when's the last time you played Fortnite?
Last week, actually.
Oh, what about before that?
If you're watching on Twitch, this is my thinking face. Probably a good 2 months before that.
That's what I feel like it's been like 3 or 4 months for me. And it's just because, at least as a casual gamer, I love the idea of Fortnite. I enjoyed it. It was great fun, and I'll probably go back at some point. But if there was an esports scene and I could further connect into it, I feel like I'd play it more. If I could get a Fnatic skin on my gun or a little Fnatic dangle off of the gun or whatever, if I could get a skin of some kind of esports relevance, I feel like I would watch it more and more. If orgs were allowed to integrate more into the game itself and we could get to know the esport pros on a deeper level, I feel like that would bring me more back to the game. So right now they're getting that gaming audience, but I don't feel like they're bringing in an esport audience, if you ask me.
No, and they're not. People are just looking for the fun plays. They're not looking to follow an organization. They're not looking to follow a player. They're just looking to watch action. They want content. And that's not going to attract an esport enthusiast. That's not going to attract you. That's not going to attract me. It's not going to attract the people that wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch League of Legends being played in a foreign country halfway around the world. They're not going to get those kinds of people doing what they're doing. They need to do more. We see it in CSGO. You can get skins on your guns. You're seeing it in Call of Duty and Rainbow Six. You can rep your org in those games. That's how you draw people in. That's how you draw people to your game and to the esport version of your game. League of Legends does an amazing job with it. Dota does an amazing job with it. Overwatch is killing it. You can do the same in Fortnite, but they're just not doing it. And it's really sad because they can make money off of it, but they don't want to do it.
Very, very sad. So hopefully that esports scene continues to go, or else they're going to find a new place for that action, like karate with courtside. It's my next stream. Get ready for it.
Oh, no.
You have to hold the wooden block, John, for me to chop. Anyway, sticking with Fortnite, Fortnite is among the games being banned in China. So Chris Pratt doing great things over there in Korea. Well, he is not going to be able to go to China for Fortnite, at least, because as a result of the new online gaming ethics review, Fortnite is going to be banned in China. We knew it was coming, John. They're going to ban a number of games. Fortnite here, I think part of the reason is the violence in the game, and that's what they're going off of ethics-wise. But I think part of it roots back to a study we talked about 3 or 4 months ago where the Chinese government was saying there are too many kids spending too much time playing games. Fortnite obviously being one of those crazy, crazed games right now, I think that's one of the real reasons here.
Can you imagine if a ban like this happened in North America? Can you imagine, like, we would have 8-year-olds protesting in front of the White House. They're all doing the floss dance. They're all doing the Carlton, which is being sued. They're all doing every single dance from Fortnite in front of the White House protesting that ban. Look, I get it. It makes sense. We said it, you know, several months ago when the Chinese government came out saying that they're going to do something like this. We understand the theory behind it. I don't necessarily agree it's the right way to do it, but I understand the theory behind it. Yes, you don't want your kids sitting inside playing video games for 12 to 15 hours a day, especially if they, you know, if they're in school or they have something else. You don't want them spending all their time doing that. You want them studying, doing their homework, preparing, you know, for life after school. That's what you want them to do. Not play games for 8 to 12 hours every day. That makes sense. I get it. I feel like this is really rough. I feel like this may send the wrong message by banning probably the most popular game in the world right now in Fortnite, because it's not the most popular game in the world.
It's got to be League of Legends still.
Still, I mean, I would argue Fortnite's really, when it comes to like playing wise, I mean, they're killing it in players worldwide. So okay, that's fine. We'll say one or two, but you know, Fortnite is really. I really don't know how to expand on it, because, like, again, it makes sense why they're doing it, because they want their country to be healthy. They want their youth to grow up healthy and smart. That makes sense. That's fine. But I feel like just outright banning a game is the wrong way to do it. I feel like parents need more responsibility here. They need to say, hey, look, you know, little Johnny, you can't play 8 hours of Fortnite. Or how about this? Say every hour you spend outside is 1 hour you can play Fortnite. Make a trade-off. Have them go outside. Have them be involved. You know, if you're in a youth sport league, if you're playing basketball, football, soccer, whatever, you know, you're involved in that. You're getting your physical activity. You're doing your homework. You're making your grades. You can play Fortnite then. That makes sense. Outright banning, I think that sends the wrong message. When you ban something, Joey, I mean, look, we were kids not that too long ago. When you tell me I couldn't do something, heck, you tell me I can't do something now, I'm still going to try to do it. In fact, I'm going to try to do it even more because of it.
Oh, you know, that's great, John, but that's going to be so much harder to do when China bans the store completely.
You're right. It will be a lot harder to do that, but at the same time, there's ways around it. I don't think everyone's going to do it, but I feel like it just sends the wrong message.
And that's if our assumption is right as well. Like, I'm assuming part of it is the fact that they have been spending tons of time doing it. But again, China cites the violence behind it, and that part you can argue for as well. You don't want to bring up kids with that violence. At the same point, I think it comes back to what you said, though. It could be something that could be solved through parenting. Sticking with Epic, they will allow other game developers to use Fortnite's cross-platform tools for free. That's another shot at Valve after Epic announced the Epic Game Store this previous week. This is big, John, especially when you think of games like Rocket League. Rocket League has been trying time and time again to develop this Rocket ID. It was supposed to come out in fall 2018. Now it's early winter 2019. Will it come out? Will it do what we want it to? We really don't know. But now Epic is coming forward. They're saying they want more cross-play. They want this to be more and more available. Can someone like Psyonix possibly use this? I think so. I think there are a number of games out there that would benefit from this, and I love the fact that Epic is now making it available. A great good guy Epic move on this part.
I know, Joey, you are just waiting for that, for your Rocket League account to be able to be transferred to the PC. I feel like every time we play Rocket League and it's not on Xbox, a part of you dies a little bit until you're able to transfer everything over to the PC once it is cross-compatible. But no, it makes sense. You know, Epic Games jumping in with game developers and cross-platform tools all for free, that is so smart for Epic Games to do that. You're going to expand your player base. That's really the biggest argument, is you do not want to limit your player base based upon the console you're playing on, whatever device you're playing on, because you're going to limit your users. You're going to limit your ability for people to enjoy the game, play with their friends, and that's just going to kill the excitement. You don't want to force someone to buy a $400 console to play the same game they own on another console, because then they have to pick and choose which version they want to play. Obviously, they're going to side with the one they have the most friends on, but that's just absurd, and we're starting to see people push back on that. That's why we're seeing this cross-platform push coming out. And I think Epic Games, in this sense, is making the right call by allowing cross-platform tools to be available for these developers for free. That's such a smart move going forward for Epic.
And the big thing is we can play together right now. I can easily log on there, but all we can do is private matches. Mm-hmm. I think when you get to the ability where PlayStation, Xbox, PC, Nintendo Switch, they all can start playing in multiplayer lobbies, I think that's when you win. Not only that, but I want to see the Rocket idea with the ability to just move all items from one account. That's the part I don't think they figured out at Psyonix. That's the part I'm not sure if they will figure out. But with this Epic tool available, when I log into Fortnite, whether it be PC or Xbox, I can get all of my items. I can get my back bling. I can get my costumes. Whatever I want is now available on all of them. That is really what I want Rocket League to be able to do. I want that to combine into one thing. So all of my toppers from Xbox can be combined with all of my cars from PC. And then I end up with a huge account of everything I've earned over that time through both those accounts. I really don't want to trade items for 3 hours a day to try to get everything moved over. I really do not want that in my future.
Look, all you have to do is we just need to sit back and wait for PlayStation and Sony to invent cross-platform play. Like they said in their announcement, they're inventing something that has never been done, i.e. cross-platform play. And as soon as the great minds at Sony are done inventing cross-platform, we'll be set and good to go, right, Joey?
Sony, man, I will never understand. Discord has joined the PC gaming store fray. John, this, like you said before the show, it's almost like the Battle Royale in gaming. It's now PC gaming stores as far as PC gaming. They are vowing to allow all developers to self-publish their games with a 90-10 revenue split. This is the best we've ever seen in PC gaming, to my knowledge. Epic came out recently. I don't remember their numbers, John. Do you off the top of your head? Was it 70-30?
I think it was like 88-12.
No, it wasn't that high, was it?
Yeah, it was that high. Because it beat Steam, which was 65-30 with 5 going to the engine producer. So like that I was like, oh, that was a good split. And then Epic came out and said, oh, we'll do it one better. We'll just do straight up 88-12. And was like, oh, that's great. And now Discord saying, screw that, 90-10. Like, everyone uses Discord. And this was the argument we made with Epic's store, is you're going up against Steam that has an already dedicated user base. Discord has that same dedicated user base on a platform that is incredibly processor friendly and just easily accessible. That's the same. Like, I see Discord doing this incredibly well. I see Discord really taking it to Steam more than Epic right now because of that user base and that fanboy mentality that a lot of people have. Discord is awesome. And if this store can really take off, that 90-10 split is going to attract developers like crazy. And let's be real here. I'm going to have Discord up regardless. I'm chatting with the OTN community. I'm chatting with the Wizards DG community. I'm chatting with the Washington Justice Overwatch League community. I have all of my servers up and there, and I'm already chatting. And now I can play games on the same thing? Give me a break. That's a no-brainer. This is such a smart move for Discord, and this 90-10 split is so attractive. So attractive to developers going forward.
I agree. When we look at Fortnite overall, they have tons of gamers. I would argue they probably have more gamers than Discord, but there's a big major reason for that. When you look at Epic Games and Fortnite, they have PC, consoles, and mobile. Discord, yes, it's on mobile, yes, it's on other things, but it's mainly used for PC. Epic, are you going to get those Xbox and PlayStation players to buy into your PC store? Probably not. Are you going to get all those mobile players that get you hundreds of thousands a month? Probably not. So really, you're taking the PC audience for Epic and Fortnite. Really, Epic equals Fortnite at this point, it feels like. But you're taking that audience and comparing it with Discord's audience. And in that sense, I think Discord can compete. When you look at PC games, John, like you said, it used to be TeamSpeak. It used to be Skype. Now it's Discord almost exclusively. Everyone uses Discord, it feels like. So you have that huge audience on Discord compared to the PC audience of Epic Games, and that, I think, is the big comparison. If you look at everyone from Epic Games and everyone that plays Fortnite, mobile and console included, it's a bigger base. But when you cut out those because they're not going to be using the Epic Game Store, that gives a big advantage to Discord. It's a 2% advantage here in split-wise. It was 88-12, John. You were correct on that. Nice job with the numbers tonight, sir.
Thanks, man.
But overall, so 90-10 and Discord, a little bit more in favor there. But the fact you have so many gamers in so many different communities and the advertising is really done on this Discord store very well so far, I think Discord has a big, big advantage right here. Okay, my cheek is still alive. We're going to get through this last segment. It's a big one. Blizzard shuts down Heroes Global Championship, aka the HOTS esports scene, and moves a number of HOTS developers to other development teams within the company. I'm really sad about this. I think the biggest thing, we knew Heroes was not going to make it as a huge popular esport from the get-go. It was never marketed well enough. It was almost marketed as a casual MOBA in comparison to League of Legends and Dota 2 because it came so late in the game. They did some different things. They took out items to make it easier for players. They added a skill tree that allows for a bit more customization within game that makes up for not having those items. Shared experience is another big player for the Heroes of the Storm scene. But overall, it never had that wow factor when it came to esports. I get where Blizzard's coming from. League of Legends, you get the crazy 1v1s. You can do that in HOTS, but it feels like it's so much more slower and methodic the way it plays out. Now, the esports scene is gone. The biggest dagger here is the fact that they're moving developers to other games, though. They're pretty much saying, if the game does not have huge esport potential, we're going to move to games that do have more esport potential in our mind. To me, this is not the Blizzard we've seen in the past. This is more Activision having their hand in things. Activision, no offense to them, but they are more money-driven. At least that's what we've seen in recent years. They continue to strive for that profit and where they can find the profit. When you look at Blizzard here, they used to be that community gaming company. They used to be that company that would raise up any game no matter where it went to and try to adapt it for the community. It just feels like Blizzard has changed over the last few years, and their stock is showing it as it's down over 50% since November.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen over the past several years a lot of change in the higher-ups at Blizzard Activision, and it really is sad because Blizzard was a company that was so driven to the gamer. They understood what the gamer wanted. They wanted great gameplay. They wanted lore. They wanted, you know, they wanted something that they could identify with. They wanted something that they could build communities around. I mean, really, when you take a look at World of Warcraft, one of the most successful games anywhere, it's been around for over a decade now. You have guilds that are international guilds that do yearly meetups. You have guilds that support one another when a guildmate is down in real life and is struggling to afford rent. They will pitch in and help guildmates out. That's something that is so unique that really comes together because of the game, because people can identify with the game. That's something Heroes of the Storm tried to do, but did a very mediocre job at doing. You know, I applaud Blizzard for trying to make a combined Blizzard universe game like Heroes of the Storm, where you could have StarCraft and World of Warcraft and Overwatch and Diablo and all your titles in one place. It was very unique. We've never seen anything like that. But that uniqueness doesn't translate to an esport. You know, just because Overwatch League had an incredible first year doesn't mean that you have Lucio, Tracer, and D.Va in the game now that Overwatch fans are going to want to watch Heroes of the Storm. It doesn't translate that way. When you jump into the MOBA market and you're going after League of Legends and you're going after Dota, two established powerhouses in the MOBA market and the esports market, it's, you know, having little gimmicks based upon which map that you're on, you know, objectives, push the cart, attack the gigantic turret or whatever it is, it's not going to be enough. It's not unique enough. It doesn't capitalize on what makes Dota great. It doesn't capitalize on what makes League of Legends great. It just kind of does everything third best. And that's the problem. Third best is not going to get viewers. You know, when the biggest scene in Heroes of the Storm was Heroes of the Dorm, that's just because the collegiate scene hadn't developed yet. That's now even developing right now as we speak. You know, we just talked about how a major SEC school is starting varsity esports. We're expecting more gigantic names, like Joey, like you said, Alabama's and UCLA's and huge, huge names in traditional sport powerhouses in college to make that jump into esports. That scene is now developing, and what games are they going to? They're not going to Heroes of the Storm. They're not. They're not going to NASCAR. They won't be going to Fortnite. They're going to be going to Overwatch. They're going to be going to Rocket League. They're going to be going to Dota. They're going to be going to CSGO. They're going to be going to the things that draw numbers, that draw money, things that fans enjoy, and developers who have fine-tuned that game. Blizzard has completely mismanaged Heroes of the Storm. They have neglected it for so long. They've tried to make changes in the game. It never came to fruition, to the point where it got so mismanaged overnight they flipped a switch and it's all gone. I mean, if that's the, that is the epitome of Heroes of the Storm, is how it came to an end. That is going to define this game when Blizzard finally stops supporting it going forward. You're going to be lucky to see one or two patches a year come out for this game with them moving everyone off of this title. They have given up on Heroes of the Storm.
And it's definitely not as bad as you make it sound, to be honest. When you look at the esports scene, it did have success. It just depends how you measure success. And where Activision measures it is how much money it's bringing in, how many raw viewers are you bringing in. When you look at the esports community of HOTS, they had one of the best esports communities as far as personalities go. But when you look at the particular money they're bringing in, they just weren't doing it. They tried bits. It was not bringing in enough money. The money just was not there. Do I think eliminating the scene altogether is the move I would have made? Probably not. I think at least for this season, instead of cutting everyone's jobs right before Christmas, I think you at least say, hey, we're going to have a watered-down version for 2019. Maybe you only go through the first quarter of 2019. But cutting it completely overnight, and the fact that you just promised pro players and coaches that the scene was happening in 2019 2 weeks earlier, that's a dagger. And the fact that you told casters it's going to happen, that's a dagger. The fact that new organizations just bought in a week ago to this game that no longer exists on an esports level, that is a huge dagger to these organizations. If I'm an org, I'm also not trusting Blizzard as much going into other games now. I'm like, will they support this game going forward? Obviously, Overwatch League is different. It's the cream of the crop right now. It's huge. It's got a ton of money invested in it. That is going to be supported for years to come. But when I look at something else, a StarCraft that is slowly dying out, a World of Warcraft that has a newly revived scene with their Mythic Dungeon raiding stuff, I still don't know if I buy into it because of what we saw here with Heroes of the Storm. I feel like there's such a negative impact for Blizzard right now. Their stock shows it, down 50% in less than a month. I mean, that's incredibly bad for Activision Blizzard. I love the company. I hope they find the roots back. But again, I feel like the Heroes of the Storm community, the players, the pros, the coaches, the casters, they all got kind of shafted here.
Yeah, I feel like the moral of the story is mismanagement. You can't sit here and tell orgs, yes, it's going to happen. Casters is going to happen. You cannot tell people that this is going to happen and 2 weeks later just pull the plug. If you are not Overwatch League, if you are an esport title that falls under Blizzard Activision, Joey, you hit the nail on the head. I would be worried. I would be terrified. If they're willing to flip the switch and pull the plug that fast on Heroes of the Storm overnight after they made all these promises, boy, if I'm a World of Warcraft esport fan, I'm nervous. If I'm a StarCraft 2 fan, I'm nervous. StarCraft 2, StarCraft in general, what an amazing story. A scene that was pretty much dead, completely revitalized, a lot of hype going back into StarCraft 2. Granted, it hasn't reached its original glory, but it's still coming back. And now you see this, you're just going like, oh no, that's not good. That's the reason their stock is tanking. Not just because the economy's crap, but that's the reason why gamers are pulling their funds out of Blizzard. It's not going to end well. Blizzard's putting all of their eggs into one basket. That's the Overwatch League basket. It would not surprise me if anything else happened to these other titles under Blizzard. And I really hate saying that, but what's going to stop them? They did it to Heroes of the Storm.
And the other scenes are taking hits. Overwatch League took a huge hit. They started taking out contenders parts of that scene. They've started watering that down. Hearthstone has taken hits as well, as far as what their scene looks like. So everything, even Overwatch, is not untouchable right now because of how their esports scenes are developing. The other thing, John, and maybe this is just me thinking from a community perspective, if I'm at Blizzard, I would try to reach out and talk to third-party developers or third-party tournament organizers. Why not, instead of, maybe they did this, by the way, I really don't know, but I would have reached out to IEM, for example. I would have said, hey, we're looking at dropping our Heroes of the Storm scene. Can we make a deal with you to run tournaments throughout the year? And we're willing to listen to the community and listen to your input on how you think we can make it into a better esport title as well. You ask for that feedback. You show you're at least making attempts to develop it. I think that leaves the community with a much better taste in their mouth. Even if the deal doesn't work out with a third-party studio or third-party organizer, at least you show, hey, community, we tried to make this work. And yes, you're going to get people that say, hey, it's not all about esports. You should do it for the game anyway. At the same point, bottom line, they want that esports scene to succeed, and that is part of the reason we're seeing it die off here. I think the biggest dagger, yes, the jobs being lost is huge, and I think that's absolutely terrible. That's definitely the worst part. But the fact you're also seeing developers move to other games, great for Blizzard, but I think as a HOTS community member, I feel like that's a huge letdown as far as, will my game live for another year? Will it live for two? Will it just die out pretty quickly? And as someone who's enjoyed playing HOTS over the last 4 to 5 months since I got playing it, I think that's really disappointing because I've seen it develop. I've seen it get better. There are definitely changes I would make in-game, but Blizzard never asked me for those changes. If they'd reached out on Reddit, if they've reached out in community polls, maybe they fly in some pros and ask them as well. I think if you start taking more and more feedback, this game could have survived. Unfortunately, the way they marketed it as a casual MOBA from the start and the fact that it got up started later than League of Legends and Dota 2 after they had already established themselves makes it hurt. You had to make it really unique, but you had to buy into the community first. And the community loved it as a game, but it never felt like they got completely in and behind it as an esport.
And I'm just going to end my rant on this on just one key point. League of Legends and Dota 2 are all based on what's called original Dota. You know, now you have Dota 2. Dota, Defense of the Ancients. This was a mod from Blizzard's own game, Warcraft 3. This was a style of game that was developed in their game. It had millions of downloads from their own servers. People were talking about it. And this wasn't that long ago. This was in 2003, right? Dota 2 comes out. League of Legends comes out. Blizzard doesn't do anything. Those take off. Years down the road, we have Heroes of the Storm. The biggest style of esports in the world right now, the MOBA, was created using their own code, using their own game that they developed. And they missed. They missed it. It was a complete air ball. It was wide right. It was every sports cliche you can throw at it. It was a huge miss. And Heroes of the Storm was a result of it. They tried to get into the game too late. They tried to do something that they should have been able to do from the start with Dota. And they missed again. Man, that feels bad.
It feels like they didn't even take the shot, John.
Yeah,
like it was there. They had a wide open shot and they passed it away to someone else. If we want to look at sports terms, it was right there, made within their own game. Like you're saying, the fact that they let Dota walk and then tried to join the MOBA scene later on it's a really late move by Blizzard. Unfortunately, it did not work out this time.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us. Joey, where can the listeners of Level Up Nation go to interact with us in this podcast?
Level Up Nation, listeners, viewers, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on twitch.tv/OTN. And last but not least, come join our Discord server, discord.me/OTN.
All right, make sure. Well, actually, first, we're going to have an announcement. We're actually going to be taking next week off. We would be recording on Christmas Eve. Apparently, Joey's going to be going out of town, and apparently I have family to hang out with. So we're going to take next week off, but don't worry, we will be back on the 31st of December. That is New Year's Eve. We're going to close out 2018 in style with a 2 p.m. stream right here on Twitch. So make sure you tune in again. It's going to be on the 31st of December at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. So make sure you do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. Be nice to your fellow gamers online. We're going to have an entire week off, so I'm expecting you all to be on your best behavior. And as always,
level up.